Welcome to the Old Presbyterian Meeting House Sermon Podcast, where faith meets everyday life here in Alexandria, Virginia. We're glad you're here. Now center yourself, take a deep breath, and let's dive in.
Eternal and gracious God, we come before you after a few days of a different routine. And suddenly we feel a sense of expectation. Expectation of things to come, expectation of what must be done. And our minds are full. Eternal and gracious God, Advent calls us inward. It calls us inward to ourselves and to our relationship with you, that we may prepare for the coming of your Son. And so we begin our season with hope. Let the hope of the Son of Jesus Christ enter in us today through the power of your word, through the embrace of your grace, and for the love of your Son, Jesus Christ. May hope enter in. Amen. Over the past 20 years or so, a new habit has been formed in the human psyche. The last thing we needed was a new bad habit, but we have one. And that is the habit of doom scrolling. Now, many of us didn't grow up doom scrolling. We never thought that would be a thing. Our parents and our grandparents would never have used that term. But today is an addiction. Our intention is to read just one article. And then we find ourselves clicked on to the next article, and the next article, and the next article. And suddenly, we have lost an hour or hours of our lives. How many of you get a weekly report on your phone of how many hours you spent staring at a little screen? Usually, we doom scroll on our phones. But if you were curious, you could doom scroll through the Bible, and you would find some doozies. Consider Deuteronomy 23. This is what Deuteronomy 23 says. If a man discovers that his wife is not a virgin, then they shall bring the young woman out of the entrance of her father's house, and the men of the town shall stone her to death because she has committed a disgraceful act. It's because of this law that Mary, the mother of Jesus, was doomed. Consider Psalm 22, which begins, my God, why have thou forsaken me? Why are you far away from helping me, from my words of my groaning? I am poured out like water. All of my bones are out of joint. I can count all of my bones. They divide my clothes among themselves, and for my clothing they cast lots. Now, these words should sound familiar to you because Jesus cites this scripture passage as he's dying on the cross. As he cries out for relief, he fears he was doomed. My God, why have thou forsaken me? Certainly all who watched thought he was doomed. Now consider today's texts. Jesus says, "But about the day and the hour, no one knows, neither the angels of heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. For as the days of Noah were, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating, they were drinking, they were making merry, they were being given in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing until the flood came and swept them all away. So too it will be for the coming of man. Then two will be in one field, and one will be taken up, and one will be left. Two women will be grinding meal together, and one will be taken, and one will be left. Keep awake, therefore, for you do not know the day your Lord is coming. But consider this. If the owner of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake, and he would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore, you must be ready. For the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour." What do you think? Does this sound like people are doomed? Jesus reminds his listeners that most of the people in the account of Noah were doomed, for they did not know that the day of the flood, and they were not prepared. Likewise, Jesus It says everyone who is complacent about Jesus' return is doomed. Does that sound ominous? Does that sound sort of like a bummer way of starting the season of Advent? For certain, many Christian traditions have used this text as a cautionary tale, as a warning to be prepared so that you are not left behind. This text has been co-opted into fear-mongering and speculation. Despair isn't very productive. That's the problem with it. Like a replicating virus, all despair can make is more of itself. So knowing what I know about Jesus and believing what I believe about his message of salvation, I do not think this text or the language in this text was meant to scare us. It was not meant to make us feel afraid or to feel that we are doomed or to feel despair, but rather the purpose of this text is for us to experience hope. This is not a message of impending doom. First, Jesus says, no one knows the day or the hour of his return. Pay attention. This unknowing gives freedom to focus on God and not on the calendar. Think about that for a second. If we knew when Jesus was returning, then we could just procrastinate and do whatever we wanted until we knew the day he was going to show up. But not knowing when Jesus will come puts the focus on Jesus and not on the calendar. Do you remember when you were in elementary school or middle school and the teacher would step out and say, "Now I'll be right back. And while I'm away, I want you to do this assignment." When the teacher returned to the classroom, they could tell if the students were focused on the assignment or if they had been squirreling around. Jesus wants his listeners to be focused on the assignment, not focused on his return. Next, Jesus talks about ordinary life, and he delivers a caution. Often, he says, our routines can blind us from urgent realities. The people in Noah's day were warned that a storm would be coming, but they focused instead on the task at hand, on the chores and on the errands that they had to run. So too, Jesus' listeners can be so focused on the unimportant that they overlook the urgent. And then when the urgent becomes a crisis, they lament and they cry out, "How could we have not seen that this was going to happen?" Jesus wants his listeners to be focused on the urgent and not get complacent. Jesus wants us to pay attention to what we pay attention to. Pay attention to what we pay attention to. When Advent begins, it begins not with shallow sentimentality and false cheer. It begins not with jingle bells and twinkling stars of fleecing lambs, but Jesus as a relentless pursuer of our souls. Jesus as a thief telling us to pay attention. Therefore, you must all be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you did not expect. How do you deal with a piece of advice like that? Well, why not be ready all the time, not only for the end, but for whatever the moment brings? Every morning when you wake up, decide to live the life God has given you to live right now. Refuse to live yesterday over and over again. Resist the temptation to save your best self for tomorrow. Do not put off living the kind of life you have always meant to live. Now, this is going to sound a little bit cheesy, but I think there is an alternative to doom scrolling. I think we can call it hope scrolling. We can have a different habit. We can form a different habit. And instead of having the psychology of doom, we can embrace the psychology of hope. When Mary finds out she is pregnant, the world tells her she is doomed, and the angel tells her to fear not. When Jesus is dying on the cross, the world tells him he is doomed, and he is raised from the dead. This is the message of Advent. It's a message of hope in a world that tells you to be and to feel despair. Desmond Tutu said, "Hope is being able to see there is light despite the darkness." John Green writes, "You can't see the future coming, not the terrors for sure, but you also can't see the wonders that are coming, the moments of light-soaked joy that await each of us." At the end of his life, the great picture book author and illustrator Marie Sendek said, "I cry a lot because I miss people. I cry a lot because they die and I can't stop them. They leave me and I love them more." He said, "I'm finding out as I am aging that I am in love with the world. It has taken me my whole life till now to fall in love with the world, but I've started to feel it the last couple of years. To fall in love with the world isn't to ignore or to overlook the suffering, both human and otherwise. For me, anyway, to fall in love with the world is to look up at the night sky and to feel your mind swim before the beauty and the distance of the stars. To hold your children while they cry, to watch as the sycamore tree leaf out in June. When my breast bone starts to hurt and my throat tightens and tears well up in my skies, I want to look away from the feeling. I want to deflect the irony or anything else that will keep me from feeling directly. But we all know how loving ends. But I want to fall in love with the world anyway, to let it crack me open. I want to feel what there is to feel while I am here." So live prepared. Live paying attention. Live a caught-up life, not a put-off life. So that wherever you are, standing in a field or grinding at the mill or just going about your everyday business of your life, you are ready for God, for whatever happens next, not afraid, but wide awake, watching for the Lord who never tires of coming into this world. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this podcast from the Old Presbyterian Meeting House in Alexandria, Virginia. We are glad to walk beside you in faith, reflection, and community. We hope today's sermon spoke to you. If so, please share it with a friend. Find us online at opmh.org/podcast. And until next time, may grace and peace go with you.